Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Police for Reform, the podcast for Law Enforcement Action Partnership. I'm Russ Belville. Joining us today, we have Steve Miller, who's a retired sergeant who worked 20 years as a law enforcement officer, preceded by 4 years in Air Force security. So thank you for your service and welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Steve, one of the main reasons I wanted to talk to you today was to get an expert's point of view on the most recent developments coming from the Department of Justice. And that, namely, would be Jeff Sessions, our Attorney General, calling for greater seizures through asset forfeiture. And I was hoping you could explain to our audience exactly what he's talking about. What is this asset forfeiture, and how do the feds and the states use this against marijuana consumers?
Well, they use it against marijuana consumers because if they can put a case against you for delivery and manufacture of marijuana, for instance, they can come in and do a search warrant on your home, raid your house, and basically take all your money, everything you own, freeze your bank accounts, and whatever they can get in their hands and in their trucks, they're going to take from you. And that is it. That occurs all without any kind of conviction, criminal conviction, just merely a charge and a file of the forfeiture on behalf of the law enforcement.
And where this gets difficult sometimes to understand is we start getting these terms thrown around at the federal level. A couple of them were equitable sharing and adoptive forfeitures. And could you tell us what's going on in those terms?
You know, as far as equitable sharing, and I think they mean it's the funds are used to go back into the community, namely into law enforcement for training and equipment and things like that. And that's how they justify all this, but it really becomes against our rights as American citizens with as little proof as they need to get to go into your house and take everything you own. You know, it's something that's in desperate need of reform, not enhancement, as Jeff Sessions is trying to do.
Yeah, I had read a statistic that said in 2014, the federal asset forfeitures actually exceeded the amount of property that was stolen by burglars and robbers in 2014. The cops are stealing more than the robbers. And part of this, that adoptive forfeiture allows, you know, you talk about us needing to reform these laws. Numerous states have
right.
Come up with laws saying you have to have a criminal conviction first. What is this adoptive forfeiture that allows the state to get around that?
Well, they operate then under federal law, and a lot of that goes through, you know, they have these drug task force out there that usually have a federal agent or two on them, and then they just go operate under federal guidelines and laws. And, you know, federally, marijuana is still illegal. You know, there is not even a provision for medical. And with it being illegal federally, they use their federal powers to come in and seize everybody's assets. And then the feds don't want to charge them. So they just charge it at a state level by the local prosecutor. But, you know, do the forfeitures under the guise of federal rule and law.
Wow. So even if your state does the right thing and requires a criminal conviction to seize your assets through this adoptive forfeiture, they can seize the assets through the federal law of marijuana being illegal. And then the equitable sharing allows the feds to then share back the proceeds with those state cops. It's an end run around state democracy, isn't it?
Yes, it absolutely is. You know, it was like you said, a lot of states have started making reforms to the civil asset forfeiture laws, and this is definitely a step backwards. You know, we got to get out of this mindset that the government can just come in and take all your stuff and ruin your life over some marijuana, especially.
Yeah.
In the states that are going to require criminal conviction, I think there's here in Michigan there's something in the legislature right now that's trying to get passed that would require a criminal conviction. And you know, if they're going to be able to do it, I guess, you know, that should be, you know, their, what they have to abide by, and with a criminal conviction before they can, you know, seize and keep somebody's money and property.
Wow, what a novel idea. A court should actually adjudicate that you committed a crime before we can take the proceeds from it. That's right. Some radical thinking there, Steve.
I've been told I'm a progressive thinker.
I guess so. Well, let's look back to your experience. You spent 20 years in various service in law enforcement, from patrol to narcotics to detective work. Did this policing for profit affect how your department might go after crimes? Like, you know, pick someone who's going to give you a better haul than someone who's maybe poor?
No, you know what? I would see where I saw a lot of failure in the civil asset forfeiture reform, or not reform, civil asset forfeiture, was that it was the more poor people, or, you know, lower middle class, or, you know, struggling people, that were the ones that got hit the hardest by this, believe it or not. Uh-huh. We had in Wayne County, Michigan, which was where I Canton Township was located, at the Wayne County Prosecutor's Office, had a program called Operation Push-Off. So you could, under their Operation Push-Off, you could seize somebody's vehicle for really personal use amounts of marijuana or other drugs, and you would seize their car under Operation Push Off, and the person could get their car back. It's usually, you know, a car that is, you know, struggling itself and having a hard time getting itself, you know, getting the person back and forth to work. But we would seize the car, and they could go get their car back if they paid the prosecutor's office $900. And it was, at our department, that was almost like a stat. It was a good statistic, right along with the arrest. You know, you got your push-off on it, which would give you credit for a forfeiture, and you got some drugs off the street, and, you know, it's, you know, the officers would get praised for doing stuff like that. It was good police work that guy just went out and did. And meanwhile, this guy didn't get to work that tonight. You've seized his car that he's never going to be able to afford to go get, pay $900 to get it back. And those are the kinds of people I saw getting hit hard with this, you know, and that's the forfeitures that was going on. I never worked in a narcotics unit. I worked in our department's detective bureau, but that's where I would see, you know, these low level forfeitures that were occurring most of the time. I mean, we weren't getting big, you know, drug rings and drug dealers and all that,
when they came up with that asset forfeiture, they said it was to go after the cocaine kingpins, the Miami Vice yachts, all right, that kind of stuff.
Yes, for major crime organization type things. I mean, that's what it was intended for, not to be, you know, kicking someone when they're down even further, you know.
Yeah, but as it works out, you know, you go after the kingpins, they've got money for lawyers. You go after somebody with a beat down, you know, Honda, they're not going to take it to court and fight it.
No, because they can't afford an attorney that'll, you know, fight it for them. They'll get a court appointed that'll get them to plead to something, you know. So,
insidious aspect of our criminal justice system that definitely needs to be reformed. And this call by the Attorney General to have more of this asset forfeiture is certainly retrograde and taking us back to a place we don't need to go to. Sergeant Steve Miller, I want to thank you for being here on our Police for Reform segment. Before I let you go, do you have any other contact information or websites you'd like to tell people about?
If people are interested in what we were talking about tonight, a big part of it, you can go to leap.cc, and that's Law Enforcement Action Partnership. And we are all about looking at the various areas of law enforcement that are in need of reform and how we can publicly speak about these and hopefully change people's minds and get law enforcement back in the right direction.